Hi. poor Mary, she's got all these papers, and I was watching football games and I didn't do anything.
I have these papers because I don't have a very good memory anymore. I'll try not to take too long. I actually decided to start from the end of my talk because I want to make sure I have enough strength left to say, you know, something I really want to say. And that is concerns our time here at Mission Boulevard and when we first came. That was back in 1976 when we joined the church. But we had been in a concept study with Brother Brian for a year and a half before that, and I just want to thank him for that. Back in Dallas, before he even came here to Fayetteville, he spent a lot of time studying and designing these concept studies that we have all benefited from, and I just appreciate it so much. So everybody does. So I wanted to say thank you for that and for that time that we got to spend with him. After we joined, we got in the campus ministry, and we spent a few years there at the Session House. It was a lot of fun, and there are a lot of people still here, those original people, in that campus ministry time, and we have a special bond, and Rick will probably say a lot more about that. I've gotten to be in the music ministry since the very beginning, first with Brother Reggie Sylvester, and then with Johnny, and now with Otis, and I really appreciate that time, appreciate Otis's talent, in his patience and kindness and faithfulness to the ministry. I've always been in music all my life since I was a little kid, and so that's a big part. From the beginning of being in the church, I got to study the book of Romans with Brother Brian for 3 years. We met every Friday morning for 2 hours at a time for 3 years, probably 300 hours in the book of Romans. And it was so good for grounding me in. Just want to say thank you to Brother Brian for that. And then he also met weekly with Judy and me as we were trying to develop basic Bible facts and character, starting with Genesis. We got all the way through the book of Deuteronomy. We were supposed to do the whole Bible, but I think children started coming along and we didn't get that done. But and I do need that Leviticus study back from you.
She needs to edit it.
I'm revising those studies, and Brother Brian is having to approve them because his name is on the study, because it's really his study. He might not be able to find it.
Brad, show me a picture of all your study tables. You got five of them on the wall.
Let's see. And, of course, there's Brother Kenny's book studies and survey studies and Brother Tom's teaching. And then I've gotten to go through Revelation with Brother Pat. And his timeline of the events in Revelation has just really helped to organize that book. It's packed full of doctrine and topics, and I appreciate that for the Pat and for getting to work with him in the online ministry too. He's a very prolific writer, and he's been writing for over 40 years, and so I've been trying to help him with some editing and I think I slow him down, but because I'm slow. But anyway, it's been a blessing. And I mention all these studies because, well, you know, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And that has been my experience over the years. It's just God's word is comforting. It not only equips us to help other people and to fight the enemy, but it's comforting and fulfilling if we'll just take the time, especially to study personally. That's the best of all. But all these Bible studies have been so meaningful and helpful. Anyway, there's been a lot of difficulties and opposition and from the enemy and painful experiences over the last 45 plus years here. But the Lord has been faithful and has helped us all along the way. And I feel really blessed to have served here with all of y'all. The leadership here, the ministers and the deacons and other leaders in the church are true and faithful people. They are not greedy, fakes, and false people. 45, 50 years has borne that out in the lives of these men and women here. And I truly appreciate my brothers and sisters and friends here at Mission Boulevard. Anyway, so having said that, I'll go back to the beginning and try not to bore you. I grew up in near Siloam Springs, Arkansas, about 25 miles away. I grew up in the 50s and 60s on a large family farm. We had 600 acres of beautiful farmland and pastures, and we had dairy cattle and beef cattle. We had four large chicken houses with 64,000 chickens that we got every 8 weeks. We got a new batch. We had a huge garden, and I can relate to Brother Brian, what he has shared about hoeing and getting halfway down a row and then going down to the other end and coming back this way, finding anything to get through that job. That and picking up rocks. It was a very difficult, boring job. There was lots of work, obviously, on a farm like that. It was my mom and dad and brother and sister and I. And we all had lots of chores. And in the summers, I started at age 12 all the way through 22, on a tractor all summer long, mainly raking hay. That was my job. And other stuff too, but that was a big one. My dad was a World War II veteran, and he had a very strong work ethic, and he often told us that we had to help carry the load, and if you don't work, you don't eat. And so he was strict, and he was pretty harsh and angry a lot. He did not make work enjoyable, I'm sorry to say. But after I was grown, I realized, you know, there was just so much to do, and he needed help. And sometimes we kid, you know, not my brother. He was always out there. But sometimes my sister and I, you know, would rather play paper dolls or, you know, sleep in or something like that. And so I know that was frustrating for my dad, and I don't, you know, I forgive him for all his. Let's see, my mother, she worked very hard too. She was kind and cheerful. And when we worked with mother, she usually sang or whistled or told stories and really made work tolerable and even enjoyable and pleasant. And I really appreciate that. Lost her too early in life. I was just 29 when she died, and Audrey was a baby. So I kind of missed out on my mom. Both of my parents were saved when they were kids at Nicodemus Church, which I'll talk about in a minute. So that was a blessing. I don't know that they were really discipled, you know, and we were just farm people. We weren't, you know, whatever. But they were at least Christians, and they took us to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the years we were growing up. And I never got to see The Wizard of Oz because it always came on Sunday night.
I did.
Most people did. I had a sister, Bonnie, and I still have a sister, Bonnie, I'm thankful. She's a year older than I am, and we did everything together as girls, kind of like twins, I would think. Although she did boss me around a little bit because she was 1 year older. I still have a brother, Lynn, who I adore and always did. He was often placed in charge of us girls. And it was his job to get us to help him work. And we helped him with things like digging post holes and picking up rocks and picking up walnuts and all kinds of stuff, feeding the calves. He was a good brother. And then we attended, like I said, Nicodemus Church. It's a little country church, a little white, you know, boarded country church, about a couple of miles from our house. And we learned the gospel there and Bible stories and the hymns and songs. And at about age 13, my sister Bonnie and I started playing the piano for the little church. And we took turns. So that kind of got me started, all that. Long time ago, let's see, when Bonnie was 10 and I was 9, she got saved in a church service there at Nicodemus. She went forward and I was like, what's she doing? And she prayed with the preacher and asked Jesus to forgive her sins and save her. And that really was a problem for me. That shook me and worried me and got my attention. And I struggled and prayed and struggled and worried for like 4 years before I was saved. My sister, we were walking across the cow lot, and she witnessed to me, and she says, don't you want to, you know, get saved? When are you going to get saved? I told her I was too young. But when I was 13, we went to a revival. Our youth group went to a revival at House Savoy, which is near Lake Wellington. It was just a little country church. And I was having so many doubts about salvation, even though I had prayed a few times to get saved. I just couldn't trust that, you know, the Lord would really save me. And so I talked to a counselor that night, and she asked me to read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And she asked if I understood it, and I did. I told her yes. I had it memorized. And so she asked if I wanted to pray, and I said yes. And we went over to the side and prayed, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and asked him to forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. But before I even did that, I had already resolved and determined in my mind that this time I was going to believe that God's promise of eternal life was for me personally. And so I know I was saved that night. I was 13 years old. And I remember right afterwards feeling happy and at peace. And I felt clean, even though I was just 13. I mean, I felt clean and I felt new. It was a wonderful experience. And then when I was 17, I had an unexpected interaction with the Lord, I guess. I had gone to bed, and just out of the blue, I couldn't go to sleep because I kept feeling like the Lord was asking me if I would follow him and go where he said to go and do whatever he said to do. And I was troubled about that, and I did not answer him because I was afraid of what that would mean. And that happened again the next night. And I would forget about it during the day, but then the next night I had the same sense of a calling to follow the Lord. And the third night I finally said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever you want me to go and do whatever you want me to do." So that was kind of a calling, I think, as I look back on my life, that I was supposed to be in the ministry of some sort. And in my limited experience, I assumed that meant I was to be a missionary. So after I graduated from high school, I asked my dad if I could go to a Bible college, and thinking I would, you know, end up on the mission field somewhere. And my dad said no. He said he wanted me to go to the University of Arkansas and get a degree, and then I could do whatever I wanted to do. And so that's what I did. My sister and I commuted back and forth. We lived at home and drove back and forth for 4 years. Am I taking too long? Are y'all okay? Okay. In the fall, when you're old, you have a lot of things to say. That's why we talk so long at these testimonies. But anyway, in the fall of 70, I came to university, and in the fall of 71, I met Rick. I was a sophomore in college. I met him through my sister and brother-in-law. My sister had gotten married that summer to a guy named Gordon who had met Rick 4 years earlier at a navigator training camp in Nebraska. And then they had gone their separate ways. And by this time, 71, they were all here in Fayetteville. And so they introduced me, Bonnie and Gordon introduced me to Rick, and we started to spend time together. And I was still living at home, and he came out to the farm a couple of Sunday afternoons and had a Bible study with me and Bonnie and Gordon. And I didn't know it, but my dad was listening. He was in the other room. And he didn't like what Rick was sharing about priorities. At that time, we didn't have Pat's God's in the middle and, you know, everything's a priority. It was God, I don't know, ministry maybe was second.
Family.
And family, and somewhere down here was work.
Family was second, ministry was third.
Something down here, you know, work. Well, my dad didn't like that.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about church at that time. So it was always family and ministry.
Yeah. Anyway, so Daddy came into the living room, and he was shaking and mad. And he rebuked Rick for not putting more emphasis on, you know, working and providing for your family and making a living. And that was sort of the beginning of a difficult time for us. And we were just barely getting to know each other. But we continued to see each other after that. And in the spring of my sophomore year at the university, we made a commitment to each other. And we knew that, you know, we were headed for marriage. Well, right after we made that commitment, I guess, I don't know if my sister told my parents or what, but my dad talked to me and said no. And he said, I don't want you to ever see him again or ever talk to him again. And so I broke up with him. And for about a year and a half, we were not going together. And then when I was a senior in college, I started seeing him again because I felt like this is how the Lord was leading me. You know, that he was God's will. So I started going with him again, and we made plans to get married several months down the road. So I asked my dad if he would come to my wedding, and he said no. And a few months later, time went by, and then I went back and I asked Dad again if he would come, and he said, yes, I will come to your wedding, but I won't walk you down the aisle. And so, at least he was going to come. And then a few days before the wedding, I asked him if he would please walk me down the aisle. And he said, yes, I will walk you down the aisle, but I'm not giving you away. my poor daddy. And then on the day of the wedding, I had worked it out with the preacher that now, if my dad stays up there, you know you can ask who gives this woman to be married to this man. And but if my dad does not stay up there, please don't ask that. And so we had the plan. And so when Daddy and I were walking around to the front door to get ready to come in, this is all at Nicodemus, this little tiny church. And we were about to come in the door, and I told Daddy, I said, now, you know, you can just go sit down as soon as you get me up to the front. That's fine. And he said, no, I'll give you away. So he did. He didn't even say my mother and I, my wife and I. He said, I give her away. I do. Yeah, so. Anyway, so we were married in September of 1974 there at Nicodemus. And we have 3 beautiful children who all made professions here at Mission Boulevard, and they are a big blessing and are contributing to society, which, you know, is a blessing to us. And then the very next year, 1975, is when we met Brother Brian, and I will let Rick talk about that and whatever.
Whatever. Well, I met Brian through Bobby Ward, and what was her name, Bobby?
Margie,
yeah. Something, I think it was Margie. Anyway, that's how I met through Brother Brian, and when I first met Brian, he was very serious, but so was I, and I didn't have a good impression of him, but I love Bobby Ward. But as I... one night, I was studying Thessalonians, and I was confused. And I asked the Lord to send somebody to that moment, send somebody to teach me the Word of God. I'll never forget that. And I said, in the name of Jesus, immediately. I mean, not a second. And there was Brother Brian. And when I opened the door, I was shocked. And the first thing was, I answered your prayer. That's the first thing that came to my mind. And then I asked him in. I think Paul Kilpatrick was with you, or it could have been Larry Wolf. I can't remember. It was one of those two. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to get in a Bible study with. And I, in the back of my mind, is this the man? And it sure was the man. And he answered a ton of questions. He was answering all my questions, to be honest with you. And it was the concepts. And I had memorized 1,000 verses, but I couldn't put them together. And he helped me. The Lord used him to put those together. Both Mary and I are Bible. We memorized scripture. I mean, we were quoting scriptures left and right. And whenever I needed help, she could quote it. And or if I need, where is that? She could tell me. And she does the same thing. Oh, yeah, it's in such and such. So we were she was very strong in Bible memory, and so was I, based on the Navigators. I grew up, and Brother Brian, he is absolutely right. We were fighters at the very beginning. I was fired up. At first, I didn't know what the church was. I didn't understand the concept of the church. All I had was Navigator background and Catholic background. And as a Catholic, I was a very devout Catholic. I mean, going to confession every week, going to communion and Mass every week. But there was something going on in my heart, in my mind, was that I did not want to spend eternity in hell. And that was a great fear. And Dad used to spank me almost every day. I was mischievous. I was terrible. I would run little girls over with my bicycle. That's how bad I was. And I don't know why, but I was full of anger. And I would tear things up. But I was also getting spankings from my dad. And I needed those. And I thank my dad for it. I also thank my mom for changing all my diapers. When I was about 26 years old, I called her and thanked her for changing all my diapers. You didn't have to do that, Mom. And she just cracked up laughing. But I was dead serious. But anyway, I grew up as a Catholic, but there was a basic fear. I knew I was a sinner at a very young age. I knew it. I lied. I cheated. I stole. I'd go in grocery stores and steal. And I knew I was a sinner. And I was afraid that I wouldn't make it to heaven. I started going to Catholic school in the second grade. And they taught me catechism. And I would learn about heaven and hell, Jesus and Satan, and all this thing took root in my heart. And so I would go to bed saying my rosaries. I mean, for years. And asking, there was a prayer called the Act of Contrition. I don't remember it anymore, but I used to say that every night. And not just for me, but for my brothers and sisters and my dad and mom. But it was about 14 years later, I heard the gospel. God heard that prayer. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I committed a bunch of mortal sins. And the mortal sins in my mind was cussing, lying and cheating. I even cheated in college. I had to because I couldn't understand English for nothing. In chemistry, I flunked it in high school. I had to take it in college. I had a tremendous learning disability. And my mom would bring people in that would try to help me, and I could not get it. And I was going to ask Piper or Charlotte, when did you learn a noun and a verb? When did you learn what a noun and verb was? What grade were you in? First grade. Well, I didn't understand it until in the 8th and 9th grade. That's how hard it was for me to comprehend. Now, I don't know if it was or not, but in the 5th and 6th grade, I had a lot of seizures. I don't know why I had those seizures. And they kept me out of Vietnam, and the doctor wrote down epilepsy. So I had epilepsy problems for a couple of years. I had seizures in school. I had several seizures. I asked my sisters the last time they were here how many seizures I had, and they said, you had a bunch. I don't remember a bunch, but I do remember some. And so I had problems with seizures, and Mom would always light candles and pray. She had a little prayer book, and she would pray for me, and I outgrew it. Evidently, I outgrew it. I think the Lord allowed it so I wouldn't go to Vietnam. That's what I think. Because I had friends that went to Vietnam from high school that died. And I did not get to go. My lottery number was 54, so I would have gone. And you had to go in and take your physical. I funked that physical. Anyway, the point was is that I knew I was lost. And by the time I hit my junior year in college, I had given up. I would make deals with God. I would, if you'd bless me, I'll do this. But I could never keep the deals. I'd fail. I didn't smoke cigarettes. I didn't do bad things with ladies. In my heart, I was lost. There was anger. There was bitterness. There was all that was there. There was cussing. There was lusting. And I knew those were sins. And I knew there was a point in my life that I knew I was going to go to hell. And it was right about then, when I had given up, that I met some guy from Navigators, came and shared the gospel. What he shared, I'd never heard before. And it amazed me that how well he could present Jesus. And so what I did, it was in November of 1967. It was around the 22nd and 23rd. I got on my knees in college and asked Jesus to come into my life to make me a better person so I could get to heaven. Did I get saved? No. I was relying upon changing so I could do good work so I could get to heaven. I had that Catholic mentality in my brain. But it wasn't until January 16th on a Tuesday night, around 10 p.m., I was actually witnessing to a guy, the bridge illustration. And when I told him, eternal life is free and a gift, boop, I saw it for the first time. I don't know if I hesitated in front of him. I don't know, but the thought was, it's free. What am I doing? It's free. And right after I witnessed to him, I went outside and I said, Lord Jesus, I want the gift that you want to give me. And I asked for that gift. All those years. Fear and struggling like that. So, I became a fireball. I go to dorms and witness. I was thrown out of dorms. I was thrown out of rooms. I never faced so much opposition, but I was almost fearless, guys. I don't know what happened. I just shared the gospel. I think I went through every dorm at Sam Houston State. And when I went to my parents, I was fired up. And I remember Mom saying, this is just a fad. You'll get over it. And I said, Mom, it's real. It's real. So I witnessed everybody. My cousins, my uncles, my aunts, I witnessed to them all. And I was able to get them all at one time when my grandmother died. And when she died, my cousin Sandra was holding her hand. And she kept screaming in a weak voice, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. She was afraid to die. And I don't think Grandma, well, that's what we call her, made it. But I remember this. I was sitting in her little kitchen in Laredo, Texas, and I told Dad, tell this to Granuela in Spanish. And I shared the gospel, and Daddy would translate it. She heard it. And my grandfather, Wello, we called him. I was at midnight, and he was at our home. He was getting some, he had back problems, and he's staying with us. And he was awake, and I shared the Billy Graham track with him. And he knew a little English, so I shared it with him. And I don't know if he got saved. I know that he died as a drunk. He had a car wreck, a truck wreck, and died. And at the ranch, he fell off the bridge. We had a bridge on the ranch. We had these ravines, and you had to have a bridge to get over the ravine. And he went off the side, and he died. And he was drunk. That's the problem. He was drunk. Anyway, I was at San Diego State University, and I was fired up. I wanted to leave school, and I wanted to just do what I had plans to go to Spain and be a missionary. And the thing about the Navigators is that it was a group of guys fired up, and we grew from 15 four of us. We grew to six. I led Carlos Taylor to the Lord. He was a Filipino. I led Don Neal to the Lord. I led Don Keel. His name was Keel. He was an ex-Catholic. And I had took him to, we were part of the Newman Club, a Catholic organization. And I went there. I was the president, by the way. I went in there and shared the bridge already. Illustration on the blackboard, and before it was over, we were both kicked out. The priest asked us to leave, and a bunch of the kids asked us to leave. So I got into a pride situation. I was always fighting and arguing with people about the gospel. The Lord had to come. The Lord had to bring me down, because it wasn't out of love. It was out of I'm going to win, and that happened over a period of time. The Lord would point it out. And what really helped me over the years was working at Frito-Lay, learning to communicate and sell and talk to people and listen to people and try to find ways to help people, managers, you know, we could do this and that, and I'd give you certain allowance. We had to sell. That was all new to me. But anyway, I had met a lot of you. I met Pat, Brad, Otis, Levinsky, Chuck. All these people were a part of the original ministries. Who else? I mean, James, Paula, Robert Johnson. Robert Story, yes. But the thing about Robert, he fell asleep in my Bible study. But he got saved. Susan, Susan was such a blessing. She called me a fruitcake. I've always been facing opposition. No matter where I went, I was made fun of or laughed at. And it's painful, guys. I mean, I already had a low self-image. And it was... I had got into that fighting spirit mode, whatever you want to call it. I met Mary. She is my right arm. The moment I saw Mary, I had strong feelings for her. She is a rock. She is joy. She's like her mother, just singing and joy and just a blessing. And she's just the opposite of me. She's relaxed. I'm tense. And she really complimented me. She had insight that I didn't have. She was positive. I was negative. I would say something, oh, it could be this way. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. It could be that way. She really balanced me. And she helped me through my anger, because I had anger. You can just go look at my filing cabinet. You'll see a big hole there. Bang! I hit it because I was angry. And she really helped me through those times. And I know I hurt her at times. I know that. But you always have that, where you work and become one, and you get close, and your ministry, we were very strong in ministry, and we still, we're not as strong as we used to be. I had lost a lot of confidence over the years, and a lot of zeal. It wasn't like I started, but I saw things in my life that stunk, and I asked the Lord, you're going to have to change that, Lord. I would tell the Lord, I don't love you. If I loved you, I would obey you. And I would tell him that. And I said, you're going to have to change it. As I was driving the freeway. And he did that. He did it. And I have a love for him. I have a love for him. Mary, I know that when she broke up with me, it was, I mean, here I was. In Fort Worth, coming to see her, I had my head on her lap, and she was rubbing my hair and said, I remember that. I'm going to have to break up with you. What? That was very hard. I flew back immediately, and then I said, what am I flying back for? And I flew back again. And she did. I remember that. But it's been a blessing. And I obeyed her father. Three times I went to her father. Three times he said no. And there's a lot of drama behind that. But I couldn't blame her dad. I would have been the same way. And her dad mellowed and become a very loving man. And her dad, I really appreciate her dad. But Mary's more like her mom. Is it time? I keep hearing dings. Oh, it's 11:03. We got to stop, sweetheart. We need to take a break. But that's it. This ministry, I had to learn a lot. I did not have church background. And so when I came in, I was throwing navigator stuff. And that's not what the church is. And when I got replaced as discipleship director, that was a very painful time in my life, because that's what I loved the most. And it was Brother Pat that helped me understand a lot. But Brother Brian showed me a lot, taught me a lot. And we were in the battle together a lot. I mean, we knocked on doors. Mary and I knocked on doors, and Brother Pat and I knocked on doors, and I took the junior high out all summer long, knocking on doors. And we were a fighting team. And I love that. And it builds comradeship. And that's what I had with the navigators. But when I came here, I didn't see that. I didn't see the Bible scripture memory or the quiet times that I was taught. I didn't understand the doctrine of the church. And so Brian helped me to understand that. And yes, I'm sorry, but I used to argue with Brother Brian. I don't know why, but I wasn't afraid to tell him how I felt. Some of you might be, but I wasn't. And I would tell him how I felt. But he was always gentle and kind. I gave him a hard time. I don't know how he did it. But that's who I am. I'll tell you how I feel. I mean, I'm a little cautious today because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I felt so bad for Rachel. Mary said no. I leaned over and said, Rachel, I quit. And Rachel said, no. Because I was something about the food in the lockers. But that's how I am. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that way. I just grew up that way. My dad was that way. And Mary's really helped me. And So praise the Lord, and that's it. That's all I can. I mean, I could go on, but I can't.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.